got a bonus with Paul coming up this time. All right, good morning. We're finishing up Philippians, so if you would turn over to Philippians, that'd be great. We're in Philippians 4. All right. So how many of you enjoyed going to school? Anybody enjoy school? Maybe you did you enjoy the learning part? Or did you like being around other kids? I would say it was probably more about the friends than it was about learning. But I would also say, I can't say I was really thrilled about that. I don't know, there are times I just didn't like it. I like kickball, all right? That's what I like. I like gym class. But what we're going to be doing, or what we've been doing, going through the book of Philippians, is we're going through this, the school of God. And that's kind of the title for today. And in this last part of chapter 4, verse 10 to 23, we're going to be looking at this idea of the school of God and what that is. So hopefully you don't mind this school quite as much as maybe grade school or high school or whatever. But this is an opportunity for us to grow in our walk with God. And this has been such a great letter to go through, and it's so practical, and it just should hopefully encourage you as you walk, as well as challenge you with what you need to be growing in, because all of us in here, including myself, we need to be growing in our faith, growing in what we need to surrender to God, what we need to confess to Him, to work out, so that we can be more like Christ. So we're going to be getting into that a little bit more as we finish it up. Today, hopefully, you will discover a little bit more about giving is imitating God. God is a giver, and that's what He wants to do. So Paul will bring that up in this, and he has talked about it already. And also, we're going to learn about contentment and satisfaction. Where does our satisfaction come from? And as well, that the God of peace, who is with you, which was last week, is also for you. And just how amazing that is, that we have a God who wants us to succeed. So as we go to prayer, and I'm going to have Amy is going to be coming up. And Amy is there. That was like right there. And then Josh, I'm going to ask you to come up as well. So Amy, you'll come up, and then Josh, they're going to give us an update on some of the ministries that they have been involved in, and just to share with you a little bit of what's going on. So let's pray, and then they'll come up and share a little bit. So Father, we just thank You for this time together. Thank You that we can look into Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for this season where we can focus on the birth of Christ. And yet that should be where we are all the time, just thrilled with who You are. Lord, we just thank You as well for Your Spirit, for the Spirit who is indwelling all believers, and just how incredible that is, that we have You with us all the time. So we just thank You, Lord, for this time where we can look at what Paul has to say, what You have said through Paul to the Philippians, and help us to take these principles, take these topics, and help us to live it out a little bit better, as well as to have the mind of Christ. So I just thank You, and I give You praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amy's going to come up. She has been working with the kids, particularly with special events, I guess. And I asked her to give us a little bit of an idea of some of the things that have gone on with the children's play and some other things.
He told me to keep it short. He has no idea who he's talking to, because if you read my Christmas letter, I'm long-winded. But I've been doing the Kids' Christmas Musical for the past 4 years now. Before me, Julie Freimeyer and Barb Hamilton held the reins for many years. They did it when I was younger, I believe. I loved being in the plays growing up, and I enjoy doing it now with the kids. I don't think I ever thought I'd be in charge, but well, here I am. It's been a learning process and one I hope to continue to improve upon. Picking a musical typically starts soon after VBS, because I can't do both at the same time in my brain. This year has proved to be a bit different, since the last couple years I had taken a play that we had done when I was little, and I was in that play, participated in that play, and chose a whole new one, one that we had never done here before. So the vision was fresh and not from memory. The next step is to invite all the children who are of age to join in on this year's production. I also ask for help from other moms. Hillary Williams and Chastity Regal have helped me out the last couple years. They sacrificed their time and energy and maybe sanity at times to help wrangle the kids. We had 44 kids this year. I think I've had 46 at the most 1 year. I love the ideas that Chas and Hillary bring to the table. Brooke Barnes brings in her flair for decorating and is amazing at picking and designing costumes for each child. 2 years ago, I put that to the test majorly because we did Angel Alert. I don't know if you guys remember that one. And she had to make sure every child was dressed like an angel. And I think we might have had 46 kids that year. So that was, I stretched her that year. I also want to bring up the guys in the back. We can't do it without the guys in the sound room. I had let them know what I was going to need for this year's play, and they brought it to fruition. These musicals wouldn't go as well without their knowledge, energy, and time. Once I knew who's participating, the process of who is getting each acting part or solo begins. I do my best to include a child from every family to take part in something, whether a solo or a speaking line or even just being in the manger scene. At the beginning of every practice, I ask a child to pray for our time together. We also end each practice with a child praying for over us getting home safely and whatever else their little heart desires to pray for. Our practices start on the first or second Sunday of October, beginning at 6:30 p.m. and running no later than 8:15. We practice every Sunday. I also add in Tuesdays or Thursday practices closer to the time of the performance. To start out, we usually just go over the music. We learn motions for the songs, and then eventually we add in all the acting parts and build from there. Carol Bretz, Pastor Pete, and Calvin Regal have graciously jumped in and played an adult part for certain plays. I've enjoyed having some of our high schoolers in the play taking on older roles. They also do a fantastic job and have been great role models for our younger kids. Then there are the ones I call the middles, the ones old enough to memorize a bunch of lines and will all too soon be the high schoolers. Then there's the little ones, the ones that are so cute and seriously leave it all out there. They make for interesting practices, some giggles, and some say some of the darndest things. I love seeing them come excited to practice, and I don't mind them complaining when I say we are going to do a few more songs before we finish for the night. But none of this could come together without Jesus. My papers and notes for the play have the word pray all over them. I stood here and told you what I've done, what my helpers have done, but without Jesus, this means nothing. When I send out my enormous text to the group of the parents, I ask them multiple times to pray over every aspect of the play. I want his presence with us so evident. I want him to be glorified in and through all the preparations and the performance itself. The kids did amazing. They gave 100% a few weeks ago for both performances. I'm thankful that Jesus gave his all too. If we entertained you, made you laugh, or even brought a happy tear to your eye, well, that's great. But if we made you stop and think just a bit more about that sweet baby in a manger, how he left heaven for a bed of hay, gave up streets of gold for dusty roads, and gave all of himself on a cross just to save you and me from our sins, well then, we did what matters most. It all happened out there in the country, but I hope it drew your heart just a smidge closer to Jesus. I reckon that's just what he would have wanted.
That was just one of the things that I thought would be important to hear, because that is something that takes a lot of time and effort, and to know all that goes into it, I think it's important. And it's not to, certainly it's not a pat on Amy's back, even though it went so well, it was really good. But it is, sometimes when you're leading it, you're learning as well, right? And then you're also passing that on to that next generation, and then even to the next one. So like here you have Ben, who used to do the bells, and Kyle used to do the bells, right? So Josh, you probably, did you do the bells too? You did the bells. But I mean, isn't it neat? And now they're involved in other aspects of the church. And it's just so important to have the kids involved in this church. This is their church as much as it is anybody else. So so Josh also is going to be giving an update from the outreach team.
For those of you who don't know, we just completed the missions and outreach came up with an idea of outreach to truckers just due to our location. There's a lot of vehicles that drive by, especially truckers. So we did a trucker ministry where we put together some goodie, we called them goodie bags. Basically just had some personal hygiene items, some snacks. We put a Bible in there, some tracks, and an insert from New Buffalo Alliance. Just to get our feet wet, we really didn't know what to expect, but we had a goal of 50 bags that we were gonna put together. We were able to complete 30, right around 30 bags with all the items we wanted to include in them. And the Sunday before Thanksgiving and the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we actually went up to Onvo. We got permission to go up there and we handed bags out. And we were able to hand out 18 bags of the 30 that we made up, which sounds low, doesn't sound like a big number, but who knows what God's gonna do with those 18 bags. It's not about the numbers. I feel like it was a success, and I thank all of you who donated items, and we're praying, and we look forward to a lot more opportunities in 26 to see what God has for us.
Thank you. All right, and actually, I didn't just have them do that for any old thing. It just, there is a reason behind it. And again, I think it comes out in this section of scripture. It's great to hear what is happening with the kids. It's great to hear what's happening outreach-wise, and there's more that's going to be happening. But it comes down to this partnering with each other, those in the church, and we're doing ministry together. So all of those things and so many more are a part of what the church is supposed to be. And again, just think about this as we look at talking about the school of God. What we've been hearing, the different topics that we've been covering, some of it has been everything from peace, hope, unity, beware, exclamation point, the deception, difficulties, rejoice, have joy, fellowship, gratitude, partnership, learning to have the mind of Christ, thankfulness, and others, all just in this four-chapter letter. And it's just kind of neat to see that is what Paul wanted the Philippians to have. And then that letter would be sent around and it would be read aloud at all the other churches. They were supposed to be doing this as well. So one of the things that I am curious about, and I'm truly interested in, is what have you learned for yourself? Amy mentioned she learns when she gets up and she starts working with the kids. Josh, we talked about it. Again, different ideas. How are we going to do it? It's kind of an experiment. It's like the key is let's go. We can't figure out every single little piece before we go. Let's just go. Let's see what God's going to do. And so we're learning to trust that God is going to work. And again, this is a great passage to end on. And again, I think it will make sense shortly. One of the things that's interesting, and I mentioned that Paul was learning while he was going through this, he actually mentions it twice in this passage we're going to be looking at, verse 11 and 12. He talks about what he learned. And so I think, do we ever arrive? The answer is no. This side of heaven, we're not going to arrive. But it's a growing, progressive walk with him. And that's what we need to be doing. So the principle for today is Jesus, the believer's strength and peace. You know, he is our all. All over this whole book, I've been putting, he is our all. And hopefully that's how you see him. So as we go into this, I just wanted to share again a little bit of the background from it. With Paul's concluding the letter, Epaphroditus is the one who came from the Philippian church that Paul had started 12 years earlier. Epaphroditus comes to him, they talk. He actually is the one who helps him write the letter that he's going to be sending back that will actually be carried by Epaphroditus to the church. If you think about it, all the way back in chapter 1, where he began, Paul was thanking the people for their financial assistance. And he says, I thank my God from the first day until now of your partnership in the gospel. And that's so much of what needs to happen. Our focus needs to be on, look at Jesus. Is this sharing the gospel? Are we reaching out to people? Are we helping other people grow? Then you look at chapters 2 to 4, Paul will point out to them Jesus is the main focus and there is a bigger picture, and he addresses some of the issues that the church may face. So not only were they facing this several, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, we are going to face the same kinds of things today. And we need to be aware of what is going on around us. And he then concludes this letter and goes back to thanking them for their partnership in the gospel ministry. And I just want to, you know, think about what Josh said about people contributed all these things to put into the bags to be handed out. And hopefully to point people to Christ. Hopefully to encourage them to know him for themselves. And it's the same thing with what Amy was talking about. It's helping the kids. You're sharing your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your time, your encouragement, your sanity, maybe. But you're doing that for this next generation of kids. And I think that's exciting. So as we go through this, Paul's been saying, you know, thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. Thank you for being involved. It's the same thing we have for today. We need to be thankful for those who are getting involved in doing the work of the ministry. So before he goes, he gets into this part, very end. It's going to be talking about, we're looking at 10 through 23. So I'm going to start at 21. And then we're going to go, we'll work our way through the other stuff. But I just was interested, I thought it was interesting to me that Paul talks about the gospel. He wants the gospel to be proclaimed. And in this very end of the letter, he is talking about who is with him. So again, think of this. Take a look at verse 21. It says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. So the one exclamation point. Last week, we had, I think it was 9 or 10 exclamation points in 9 verses. So a lot, like do this, focus on this. Here is one. One, he says, greet one another. And just how important that is that we have that fellowship, that partnership, that human connection with each other. That felt like the time just going up and shaking people's hands. That's purposely done to connect you with people maybe you don't know or you haven't seen in a while, or maybe you do know and you just haven't been able to say anything to them today. But we need that connection with one another. We are not supposed to be alone in this. So Paul is pointing out to them, look who is here with me, these other believers. Look at the rest of these verses. The brothers who are with me greet you. So again, exclamation point about the whole greeting thing. These guys who are with me, who are partnering with me in the ministry, are here. All the saints greet you. So there are other people who have been coming to visit Paul while he's in prison, and he talks to them. And as he's talking to them, these jailers, the Praetorian Guard, are actually connected to him with a chain, most likely. But he is connected to these people, these guards. Guess what? They also are hearing the conversation. They're hearing Paul's heart. They're hearing him share the gospel with these people. Isn't it interesting? He says, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. People from his household, the Praetorian Guard, have come to know Christ. How exciting is that? That would be the people that you would never expect to come to know Jesus. And yet he is purposely putting this in here. You Philippians are part of why these guys, these military guys, are now believers. That's pretty cool. So, as we go through this, continue to go through this, remember, I've said this a bunch of times, I suppose. Paul's in jail. He's connected to this military people at different points, and he is under a very hostile emperor, Nero. And Nero could have him killed at any time. And yet Paul keeps doing the work of the ministry. So another thing that's kind of interesting, he gets into this, is I apologize for the, if it's too small to see, we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 12. But it's the satisfying power. So not only is there a salvation power, Jesus is at work through those who are sharing the gospel, and it's the same with this satisfying power. I was thinking of this. What are the things that are in my life that I have learned or have come to love? So we have a 2007 Honda minivan. This minivan owes us nothing, if you understand what I mean. It 213,000 miles. It's moved our family all over the East Coast. The youth group that I was involved with, many milkshakes were spilled in that van. Plywood, all kinds of junk has been moved in that van. I treat it like a truck. And it keeps going. There have been a few times where we're like, okay, it's done. It's like, or we're done with it, maybe. And it keeps going. So we've started to call it the resurrected minivan. I was a phone call away from calling the guy saying, come get it, because I'm not putting all that money into it, and yet it's still going. I drove it here today. But I've learned to appreciate that van, that stupid minivan, rocking the minivan. It is a workhorse, it truly is. And it went above my expectations. And I just kind of, you know, as we look at 10 to 12, what Paul says, he's like, you know, Paul is content even when he's hungry, even in need of many things. Let's take a look at those verses. Verses, again, 10, 12. But I rejoiced, there it is, rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you lacked an opportunity to act. A little pause on that. You guys gave, right? And then the bags, we filled the bags and they went out. You may not have been the ones to actually pass them out, but they went out on your behalf. Maybe with the kids, You dropped your kids off. You got them involved. You made sure they were here. But there are other people who are involved in making that happen. And it's, you know, it's that same principle in this. Verse 11, it says, not that I speak from need, for I have learned, that's the underline that, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Whatever I have, whatever I think I need, I have learned, whether I have it or don't, to be content. That is probably for us as human beings in this day and age, if we can learn to be content with what we have and not going after the next latest greatest thing, I wonder how much happier we would be. Verse 12 says, I know how to get along with little. I also know how to live in prosperity. So he's not saying you can't have stuff, but he's just saying sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. But how much are you seeking it? How much are you focused on it? How much are you after it? Again, how to live in with or without in any and every circumstance, I have learned, again, learned, underline, the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I want you to think about it this way. Paul is content in whatever situation. He has learned to be content. See, being content has nothing to do with what you have or what you don't have. We tend to go to material things. I have this minivan. And that's usually how we think about stuff. I have this. And what's interesting is sometimes we think of it like, if I got my fill in the blank, whatever that would be, my phone, my computer, my car, my whatever, I would be happy. Right? Anybody ever do that? If I get this, I will be happy. And then it seems like in a very short period of time, you're looking for the next thing. This is an interesting quote. Jim Carrey, right? Actor, hilarious person. One of my favorite is when he played the Grinch. That's probably one of the best Grinches. It always makes me laugh, and I've seen it a bunch of times. This is what he said, though. He said, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of, comma, so that they can see that that is not the answer. Something has been stirring in his heart. I don't know if he has become a believer or not, but he has everything, and yet he realized he had nothing. It was still not enough. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10 says a couple things about Paul. Back to Paul. If you've ever read this part, it's about the thorn in the flesh that he has, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but I think it's interesting to hear where he's coming from. So again, 2 Corinthians is written relatively early on in his ministry. So just kind of keep that in mind as he says this. He says, because of the extraordinary greatness of the revelations, for this reason, listen to this, to keep me, Paul, from exalting myself. That's like, if you, in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, Paul realizes, because he knows as a human being he would exalt himself. But he says, to keep me from exalting myself, why? And is my comment on this, because of pride. There's pride in all of us. We tend to do that and forget God. Think of what Amy said at the end. It's like we do this play, but it's not just a matter of doing the play. We want to glorify God. go back to Paul. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Exclamation point, by the way. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might leave me. Isn't that interesting? God, take this away. Nope. God, take it away. Nope. Concerning this, I plead with the Lord three times that he might take it away. And he has said to me, my grace, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. That is completely the opposite of how we look at our lives. But God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Now listen to what Paul has learned. He says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecution, in difficulties, in behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's powerful. Paul chose to be happy and blessed, delighted in his weaknesses. And if you remember, Paul knew about God. He knew about him. He studied him. He was at the top of his class as a Pharisee. He was going to be the next generation of religious guys. But he didn't have that aha moment, that light bulb kind of go off in his heart and mind. So Jesus got his attention. If you look back at Acts chapter 9, this is when Paul enrolled in the school of God. When he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, that's when he came to know Jesus for himself. Another way of looking at this is faith and opportunity. He says to them, you had no opportunity to bring it to me or meet my need in prison. So you sent Epaphroditus to me. See, and very practically, there's a verse I just went over. Very practically, Paul is saying, you gave Epaphroditus to me. You let me know that you were thinking about me. You actually sent a financial contribution to me so that I could live in prison. Again, think of that. James says this in another apostle. James says this in 2:14-17. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? In the same way, faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. See, faith and works go together. We have faith, and then because of that faith, we do the works. But he's getting into it. It can't be on its own. I want you to think of this as kind of something to be, I think, excited about, is that we as a church have helped several local people this Christmas season in need. They need gas or groceries or lodging. So you didn't actually give to them directly, but on behalf of New Buffalo, we're able to give because you give to the church. That's pretty exciting. Your tithes and offering helped other people that you don't know, that a few of us got to know. Again, think of it with the trucker ministry. Just you guys were the ones who gave the things so that we could pass them out to them. And guess what? everybody that we gave one to, they took it. And they were actually pretty happy about it. And not only were they happy about it, a couple of them even said, there need to be other people like you guys doing this. Because they know they're alone. You're by yourself quite a bit. And have other people who at least were thinking of them. It was pretty good. See, Paul is content when filled and in need of nothing. Back to verse 13. See, I don't know about you, but I want to learn to be okay with that. It took a bit for me to be okay with the van, truly. I'd much rather have a Corvette or something. That'd be nice. Just couldn't do as much with it. And my wife thinks it's very impractical, which it is. But it would be cool. But it does go back to being content. I can do all these things through him who strengthens me. What does that mean? If you look at verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to do these things. What are these things? All the things he's been talking about previously in the letter. We even talked about that in the last sermon last week. He talks about these things. See, there are things, God is not going to help you to do evil. God is not going to help you to sin. But he is going to help you to do the things that bring honor and glory to him. See, our focus needs to be on him. Our desire is to give him the glory. See, look at this part. This is, again, the satisfier. Paul is the one who found that Jesus is the only one who satisfies. He is the reason why he can be content, and he needed to surrender to this satisfier who is Jesus. See, Jesus himself is the source of Paul's strength. I don't know. Again, what have you learned going through the book of Philippians? There's so much in here, truly. There's just so much in it. See, and I need to choose his ways above my own and see his hand in my life. Even through the ups and downs, he's there. Am I satisfied with Jesus? And the answer to that is not always. Just being honest. I wish I could say it was 100% of the time. It's not. But we need to continually learn and have a perspective that helps us to be content. There is an old adage, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I mean, this is what Paul is doing. I wouldn't have picked prison, but God is using me here. There is a singer, rapper, Forrest Frank, that's relatively new to me, but I like one of his songs called Lemonade, so I've been playing that a lot lately. It's good. But it's this, but it's learning in the difficulties of life. God can be glorified in it. And this is the school, this is the teaching that he wants me to have, so I learn to be more like Christ. You didn't think I would like Forrest Frank, right? There are some other things. You don't want to hear me rap it. Paul's going to do that later. At the end, he's gonna do that. You didn't know that, right? No. Do you know who Forrest Frank is? Oh, okay. All right. One of the things that's also that we need to do is part of the school of God, the sanctifying power. It's amazing what God can do. Look at verses 15 down to 18. It says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gifts itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. See, there's something about it that when we give, God doesn't need our money, right? You got that? God doesn't need our money, but what he wants is our heart and our mind. And he knows that we need to make sure that our money is in the right place. Where, how we use our money, what we think about money is in the right place. Let me finish this. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. I don't know what excites you. Andy was telling me that he made some steak and it just smelled, I could smell it. It was like, that would be great. We've been percolating our coffee lately. I love the smell of coffee. That's really good. Especially when you perk it. That's good. On the stove, oh man. It fills the house. But what is it that aroma that gets you like, ooh, that's really good. See, that's how God sees us when we start to do the things he wants us to do. When we are giving glory to him, he's saying, that's a sweet smelling aroma. I love that. So here's something to gauge where you are. And again, this is a tough one because it's about money. Where do you spend your money? Where do you spend it? And a little bit more, if you're being honest, what does it reveal about your heart? That's always a tough one. See, is it important to see the gospel spread? Is it important to see what's happening, people being discipled, people growing up, doing, being involved in the church? Let me say, for the short time that I have been here at New Buffalo, this is a very generous church. And I would say to you, for us, wisely continue to be this way and to put people and others first to the glory of God. Don't let money be the thing that keeps us from doing what we ought to be doing. Paul wants these Philippians to continue to give because it benefits them. Paul says, you help me, and God sees that. God wants your heart and mind to be focused on having the mind of Christ. And that part of that is being willing to give. And it, again, it's not necessarily money. Could be time, could be your talents, that encouragement, whatever it is, are you willing to give? And isn't it wild that when you give, it actually benefits you? God is pleased. Think of what you did with Teresa, who went over to Thailand. She asked, and she's like, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to take care of this. But she went with the whole amount that she asked. That's from you. That's God working in your heart. Guess what? She's over in Thailand sharing the gospel, being involved with those who are doing discipling there, who are there regularly. What's also neat about it is she's excited to see what God's going to do. Not only there with them, but in her own heart, in her own mind. How's God going to change me? Another part of this, which is pretty exciting, is the multiplying power of God. When we do this, when we're willing to give, it multiplies out. It goes, and you'd never know. Just like the Praetorian Guard, who would have thought that they would come to know Christ? Maybe some of the guys, the truckers, who would think that they would come to Christ? Who would have thought I would come to Christ? And yet someone invested 3 years with me. And I've shared that with you. Mike Tucci, 6:30, Verona Diner, every Tuesday. He was there. Whether I was there or not, he was there. Have you thought about giving to someone else and meeting with them, mentoring them, pointing them to Christ? See, what's cool is God will give you the needed strength in the good seasons and in those learning seasons. You could say both are learning. But this is that multiplying power. It goes out, it goes beyond just even one person. This last part, and we'll finish with this, is the glorifying power that it is. In verse 20, God is not selfish, because we could think of this as the wrong way. Verse 20, it says, "Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory." Not to Paul, not to any of us, but to God. That's our focus. That's who we need to be giving glory to. See, when we desire to enter the school of God, he will be glorified, and we will learn to have the mind of Christ. So let's pray, and then Paul will come up.